Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'll be delivering part three of a four-part series entitled Greater Than, with today's message specifically entitled Abundance is Greater Than Comfort, based off of Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Let us dive into the Word today. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. Amen. When we recognize all we have as a gift from God, we can give out of our abundance rather than focusing on making ourselves comfortable. In 2005, a tragedy shook the lives of millions of Americans. On August 29th of that year, a massive hurricane, which had already passed over Florida, the Bahamas, and Cuba, made landfall near Burris Triumph, Louisiana. Subsequently, it raged over New Orleans and heavily affected all of the levees around Lake Pontchartrain. As such, storm surges from the lake breached the levees in about 20 different places, causing massive flooding throughout New Orleans and surrounding areas. The devastation was real. 800,000 homes were destroyed. Millions of Americans were displaced and homeless. And 1,833 people died. The people hit hardest were those in the Ninth Ward and other impoverished communities of color. And the government at the time was found to be underprepared, and too slow to respond. It was a national tragedy and another tragic example of inequity in our country. In or around January of that year, I was invited by my church, fellow church members and my pastor at the time to go on a mission trip. We were going down with Samaritan's Purse, and we're going to be doing mold remediation in some of the houses that were able to be restored, the ones that weren't structurally damaged to the point where they had to be knocked down and demolished. Now, part of me really didn't want to go, and there were 100 excuses why, some more valid than others. I had kids at home, and Bernadette needed to work. It wouldn't be right to ask her to take vacation time to watch the kids while I'm off on a mission trip. That wouldn't be fair to her. I was back in college working toward answering my call, and this would mean taking away from my winter break, which I felt I desperately needed. And anybody in college gets that. I could list others, but the real reason for my hesitation... is this trip was being organized between our church and several others, and as a generally antisocial and introverted person, I wasn't sure if I would be comfortable going. Now, for those of you who know me, you may think, like, you're introverted and antisocial. Yeah, by nature, actually, I am. I can force myself to not be in situations. That's how I'm able to function as a pastor. But my go-to is to be alone, by myself. And I find it, I get anxiety when I'm in groups of people and have to socialize and be the center of attention sometimes as I am in church by default. So that's not my natural go-to place. That's who I have learned to be in order to fulfill the duties of my vocation, of my call. And this is common for most pastors. So as a generally antisocial and introverted person, I wasn't sure if I, in fact, I knew I wouldn't be comfortable going. I would only know a few of the people there and only barely knew them and would be so far from home, way, way, way out of my comfort zone. And I just wasn't sure that I could do that. Of course, I mentioned the idea to Bernadette, and she was extremely supportive, thought it was a great idea, thought it would be good for me to go. Well, there went that excuse. And others in my church saw my hesitation as well and kept on me about it. And you know how that is. People keep asking and asking, and finally you're like, all right, I'll go, right? They let me know it would be a powerful time and we'd get to know each other better. I had only been attending that church for less than a year at the time. So I knew these people, I liked them, but I didn't know them well. I didn't know what spending, you know, a week away in a foreign place would be like with them. In the end, I decided to put being comfortable aside and chose to give of myself out of abundance. Man, I am glad that I did. My life will forever be changed by what I saw in the Ninth Ward, which is where I ended up working. Again, the hardest hit of all of New Orleans was the Ninth Ward. The horror of the devastation will never be erased from my mind. There were houses on top of cars, boats on top of houses. House after house was marked with these large spray-painted X's, indicated that FEMA's urban search and rescue task or other search and rescue forces, again, FEMA's urban search and rescue task force and other task forces had searched the home. And you could tell which task force did because they would have a code for their task force. And that would be in the left-hand quadrant of the X. In the bottom quadrant of each X were numbers. The top number represented how many were found alive. The bottom number were how many were found dead. Also, if all were dead, you might see DOA or dead on arrival. If there were not survivors and no corpses, you'd see 0-0. A zero with a line crossing it indicated no bodies found. And then there were people. There were the people that I got to meet. Real people who were really in need. Just so thankful for our presence, let alone our help. They cried. They shared their experiences. They gave us hugs and prayed with us, thanking God for our presence and work. It is a common experience to fear discomfort or to fear that there won't be enough time, resources, whatever, to keep us comfortable, to keep us as comfortable as we'd like to be. The desire to make and keep ourselves comfortable can lead us to the path of least resistance. You know what I mean? The path that is easiest for us to go down, the path that will take the least amount of effort, which does not always lead to the best outcome. Now, the prophet Malachi, who was speaking on behalf of God, told the Israelites to bring a full tithe, a tenth of everything they had, into the Lord's storehouse, and almost dared them, in fact, didn't almost dare them, totally dared them, to see how abundantly God would bless them in response. Now, here's some important context. the Israelites had been giving their least desirable livestock as offerings to God and saving the best for themselves, and they had been unfaithful to God and each other. They wondered why God was not turning their offering into blessings. The call from God in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 is about giving our best to God. Not our least, but our best. It's about being less focused on our own comfort and recognizing that when we give from abundance, God will multiply our blessings in unimaginable ways. Again, it's about being less focused on our own comfort and recognizing that when we give out of our abundance, God will multiply our blessings in unimaginable ways. It's also about offering to God in a spirit of gratefulness and faithfulness. Now, let me be clear. This is not just about giving so that we can get something back. In fact, it's not about that at all. We need to distinguish between faith and magic, right? Magic being putting something out there in order to get something in return, which is found in different religions that practice that. But this is about faith, not magic. Maybe you've heard that we give and God will give, and God will outgive us. So we give, but God outgives us. This is true, but don't hear it as only financial. We need to have eyes to see the blessing. Part of tithing is gratefulness. Being grateful leads us to see that all we have are a gift from God. Again, being grateful leads us to see all that we have as a gift from God. Where is there abundance in your life? Perhaps you have time, compassion, education, finances, organizational skills, a passion for children, whatever. Where do you tend to worry about being comfortable? And does that hold you back from giving from your abundance in any way? How can you take one step towards giving out of a sense of abundance and faith, trusting that God will use what you give to bless not only you, but the world? Now, discussing tithing can be awkward and uncomfortable, and far too often as a church we don't, because we don't want to put people off. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to put people off. We don't want to talk about money and drive them away, so we just don't talk about it. But it is a biblical concept where we give one-tenth of all we have and give it back to God out of gratitude for all that God has given us. It is a way of expressing our faith in God, and it comes out of a realization that what we have isn't ours, but is God's. Tithing is hard for us to practice because there are so many worries, concerns, and desires that cause us to fear such a commitment. I'm not here to tell you that you should all just be in a place to tithe right now. That's something everybody struggles with. That's something I have struggled with. Not everyone is there yet, and that is okay. However, we can grow toward tithing, taking baby steps. Let's say we start off by giving 1% of our earnings. Let's say that that's where we are right now. We're giving 1% of all of our earnings. If we up that by 1% each year, we could be tithing in 10 years. Or if you can't afford to tithe financially, and there are people who can't, imagine if you tithed your time, or your prayers, or your service, or your witness. And by the way, a tithe is really just as affordable when you don't have money as it is when you do, right? Like, if you have a dollar, a tithe is 10 cents. Doesn't seem like it's going to break your back, right? Like, giving 10 cents out of a dollar? Not bad. If you have $100, it's $10. $1,000, it's $100. $1,000,000, it's $100,000. You get the point. A tithe is a tithe, no matter where on the pay grade or where on the scale you are. But we can also tithe in other ways than money. Again, we can tithe our time, our prayers, our service, our witness. We should be tithing everything, not just finances. Too often we get sucked into the financial end of it and we forget the bigger picture. The finances are certainly a big and important part, but they're not the only part. When we are hyper-focused on our own comfort, we can become numb to others' needs. And I want you to hear this for a second. Because the truth of the matter is, oftentimes, when we don't just resist tithing financially, we resist tithing in every aspect. I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, I just don't have time. I'm so busy. I can't do that. Or, I don't know. I don't think I would be good at doing that. Or, I'm not very good at, speaking, so I can't. Or, I have that gift. Or some people think I have that gift, but I'm not sure it would really fit with what you want to do. You know, we make these excuses all across the board and as to reasons why we can't give out of our abundance and I'm not saying they're invalid, but because of the concerns we have, the fears we have that we might not be good enough, or we might not have enough time or enough resources, or enough creativity, you name it. We will often use that as an excuse to not give a tithe back to God in any sense. And again, when we are hyper-focused on our own comfort, we become numb to others' needs. And yet, we are sometimes more comfortable than we need to be. Had I chose comfort over abundance and never went to New Orleans to participate in Katrina relief, I would have not only turned my back on those thankful, tearful people I met, but I also would have turned my back on growing in my trust of God. It would have been a major opportunity missed. Now, I'm not saying it was an easy thing. I'm not saying that it went perfectly and every moment was great, but the overall big picture would have been lost had I not gone. Imagine what it would look like if we all shared our abundance. I want to remind you now that next week is Commitment Sunday. And you'll have an opportunity, whether you attend my church or you attend someplace else, you'll have an opportunity to make a commitment toward tithing as we bring and dedicate our gifts to God. So wherever you are, bring an abundance to your place of worship. Give out of abundance. Together with Christ, there is nothing that can limit us or stand in our way. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here and to be challenged by this message. It is always a blessing, Lord, to be inspired and challenged by you, even when we know that it's calling us to do things we're not comfortable with doing. Help us to see and value our abundance over our own comfort so that we may be a people who give to others unafraid, boldly, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, it's always a blessing to have you here tuning in and listening to these podcasts and these messages. I'm always honored to bring them to you. And I just hope that, you know, you're getting something out of these and that that you find that you're drawing even closer to God as you listen to them and accept the challenges therein to grow. And that's what the Christian faith is all about. It's about growing closer to God. Anyway, with that said, check out the episode notes. Again, if this is where you get your main message and worship experience here or on YouTube, you're welcome to click on the giving link in the episode notes. That helps our church continue on in its ministries. These have been trying and difficult times, as you can imagine, for the church. But if you attend elsewhere and this is just supplemental, then I would invite you to give to your church, as that is they need it as much as anybody else, maybe even more than we do. So give to wherever you call your church family or your home. With that said, check out the rest of the episode notes, and remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.